This is Dave Doggett, and you're listening to the Maritime Outdoorsman Podcast, episode 18. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the podcast. This is actually going to be the second episode so far related to kayaking. You may recall, if you've been listening to past episodes, that episode 11, I talked about kayak fishing with a friend, Chris Arnold. So if you want to catch up on that episode, just go to maritimeoutdoorsman.com/011, and you'll find that episode there with all the show notes. But in this episode, I want to talk about kayaking in general. It's becoming a major trend. I've noticed over the past number of years, anywhere in the Maritimes that you go, when the weather's warming up, and even sometimes when it's not, you'll see kayaks on the roof of cars, on top of vans, or on top of, whatever, RV vehicles. And so I thought, who better than to chat with kayaking in general than Mr. Adam Zita. Adam is, at the time of this episode, involved with Canoe Kayak Nova Scotia, as well as East Coast Outfitters. And so Adam is basically, he is making a living in the kayaking world as a guide, if you will. And when he's not here in the Maritimes working with kayaks, he's actually off to Panama. So I've been following him on social media. He looks like he's got a fantastic life. We'll find out here shortly. And without further ado, I'm going to connect us with the discussion I had with Adam. But before I do that, I just want to reach out and say that if you're interested in taking boating courses online, ATV courses, snowmobile courses, even hunting-related courses, you can do that. And we have the links available. Just go to maritimeoutdoorsman.com/courses, and you'll find the appropriate links there. Those are affiliate links. So should you have an interest in taking any of those courses, and you do it by clicking on one of those links, you will in turn help this show. And we appreciate you for that. Also, if you enjoy this episode or any of our other episodes, please take the time to give us a good rating on iTunes or whatever other podcast network you're listening to. We really appreciate it, and we're looking forward to producing a lot more episodes this season and hopefully many more seasons to come. So let's jump into the discussion I had recently with Mr. Adam Zita, and we'll learn more about kayaking. So you spend roughly half the year here in the Maritimes and the other half away?
Yeah, so I've been doing that for the past 3 winters now. I've been in the Maritimes since 2010, and I haven't gone down south every winter, only the past 3 winters, to do some more kayaking down there. So it's been working out pretty well so far.
Nice. Looks like a pretty good life to me.
Yeah, not bad.
So when you're here in the Maritimes, you're primarily a kayaking, would you call yourself a guide or instructor? Or?
Yeah, so I'm the operations manager for East Coast Outfitters, and so that's a sea kayaking tour company in Lower Prospect, which is just, it's like halfway between Halifax and Peggy's Cove off the Prospect Road is what I would usually explain it. And so that operation runs May to October. And then for the past couple summers, winters, I've gone down to, last 2 winters, I've gone down to Panama to do more, to guide more sea kayaking tours down there. So essentially, for those 6 months, I'm running the operation and also leading tours as well, kayaking as well. But as it really gets busy in July and August, I'm really mostly a lot of management, a lot of organizing, not so much time on the water. And then when I go down to Panama in November, December, then I'm mostly just straight guiding tours and sort of keeping an operation running down there too. It's not, again, it's nothing that I own, but just stuff that I help people with and organize tours and stuff like that. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, how long have you been involved with kayaking, I guess?
Well, that's the funny thing. I've only been kayaking since 2010. Because growing up in Ontario, most of my life I was canoeing, right? So I did a lot of moving water, white water, river trips, canoeing trips from different organizations. And so, I was sort of the mindset that, like, I don't need to, I'm inland, I'm not on the ocean, I don't need to kayak, and the canoe is perfect for what I need to do. So there's one point where I was like, well, I got to try this kayaking thing. And the best place to do that and to learn how to do that is on the ocean. They call it sea kayaking for a reason. But there are other places that are inland that are on lakes and large lakes that you can also train in sea kayaking. But after a certain level, you have to be on the ocean. So I thought, well, might as well just go there now and do that. And so I took my first kayaking course in 2010, of May of 2010. So it's only been almost 6 years since I've actually been kayaking. But when it comes to, like, guiding and operating touring companies, I've been doing that for the last, like, 15 years. So that's not really different, whether it's kayaking or canoeing or outdoor education or programs. Like, running a business is not different from one aspect to the other. But so I just wanted another sort of style of paddling under my belt. I've done bit of paddleboard courses as well, anything to get on the water, white water courses, anything to get on the water was what I was trying to do.
Yeah, no, I love being on the water myself as well. So you actually came out here east to specifically to get into kayaking.
Yeah, a friend of mine also showed me a clip of paddleboard rafting. Actually, that was one of the other things that I was like, I got to try that. Because for a couple of seasons, I did some work on the Ottawa River too, moving water mostly with rafts and canoes. And I honestly never heard of the Shubies and the, how to, growing up inland, you don't hear about these things in the ocean. So that just intrigued me. And so I contacted one of the companies and worked for them for the summer of 2010, off and on, as I was also working for East Coast Outfitters, just starting to work for them and getting my training in kayaking. But I had to try that because, just driving those boats sounded really fun too.
And how, so you did it by kayak?
I have, and not first, because my training, my experience in kayak in the first couple of years. So the first time I did the Shubi was 2012 in a kayak. But I worked as a rafting guide for one of the companies there for a season. Because I just had to try it. So that's another reason I wanted to try that. But it was mostly trying to expand my paddling abilities. And I always I visited the East Coast many times, and I've always liked it out there. So
Nice.
that helped too.
Yeah, no, it's a great place. I like it out here. I haven't really lived anywhere else, but of anywhere I've traveled, I do enjoy living out here on the coast. Even in the 6 years or so that you've been involved with kayaking, would you say that it's a trend that's still on the rise, or?
Yeah, there was a. I always think of this as a report that came out like 2 years ago that kayak sales overtook canoe sales in Canada. I'm not exactly sure where that stat came from. I remember reading it. I can't remember where I read it, but I saw that one time and, like, it makes sense. A lot of people are, kayaking and canoeing and all paddleboard sports have, or paddle sports have, different ways to get on the water. And it'll intrigue different people at different times, right? And where they are and where they live. So right now, like, stand-up paddleboarding is getting a really big push here on the East Coast. It's already been popular in Ontario and BC as well too, BC for a while. And so, like, it all depends on where people live. But if I'm, I live near the coast, I live near flat water or moving water, whatever intrigues me, maybe I want to try, a kayak is going to be my way to get out. Or maybe my family situation is like, well, I have, I live near lakes, rivers, so maybe I'm going to take my kids canoeing, or I want a cottage on a lake, because I just want, like, a little recreational boat so we can play around in the water every once in a while. So it all depends on and where people live. But I've noticed that kayaking is, is pretty popular. Running East Coast Outfitters for 6 months out of the year, you get to see an increase of people from away and also from Canada and Nova Scotia that just keep coming back and wanting to paddle, wanting to get on the water. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely see a large increase in even the last 2 years.
Yeah, nice. Now I have noticed the stand-up paddleboarding, sort of consuming social media right now. Actually, that's something I think I want to give a try in a little while. I get into kayaking through, my love of fishing. So I find it's a great way to get on the water. It's similar to a canoe, you're making very little disturbance and very peaceful. There's no engine, nothing against powerboats or anything, but there's just something very unique about it. Where you do the tours with East Coast Outfitters, do you guys encounter, what would be some of the wildlife that you guys would encounter out there? Do you encounter any porpoises or whales once in a while?
Yeah, sure. There's definitely, they're a little bit more few and far between than they were in the past. Past 10, 15 years, mm-hmm. Not from experience, but just from talking to people. But you definitely see porpoises every once in a while. Whales are, mostly pilots, and minkes is usually what we
right.
see. Sometimes get beyond. There's been whale come in like 3-4 years ago, but they're not like, it's not like, hey, let's go to this spot because that's
right.
where the whales are.
Yeah,
don't really
yeah.
have anything like that. Last year we had a sunfish hanging around for about 3.5 weeks along the coast, and I think that happened up and down the coast of mm-hmm. of Nova Scotia last year. But, a lot of different things come in. So, when it comes to wildlife, it's a lot of bird life, a lot of animals. Last year was the first time I saw a porcupine swimming. I know they swam, but
I never
saw one. So you get to see things like that. Lots of, blue herons, lots of ospreys and eagles and, mm-hmm. Things that you might, squid in the water. We saw squid,
right.
squid in the water one time. So it's not like there's, where we go to, this is where this spot's, this guy's over here and that animal's over there. The idea is just to get out and see what you see. But, mm-hmm. That's the biggest question I usually get all the time is, do you paddle with whales all the time? I'm like, there's spots around Nova Scotia where you can go and paddle, like Briar Island, mm-hmm. Digby area. Like you can go, there's big whale watching out there, so you can go and paddle in a kayak and most likely go to a spot where you can probably paddle out of that
right.
But there's not, you need to know what you're doing. You need to know you got to have friends because there's not really like an outfitter out there. There is, but not that would take you where you need to go to, mm-hmm. to paddle. But, there's friends of mine that used to have outfitters in Prospect like in the early 2000s, late 90s. And they were like, I would see a minke whale 2-3 times a week, mm-hmm. Paddling around the area. And now, people will cite many different reasons. There's less food for the whales.
Right,
there's
right.
too much traffic. There's, it could be this, it could be that. But just talking from locals around the area, there's definitely a good decline in the large mammals that we see, large fish that we see. But
right.
there's lots of other things that we see while we're paddling.
Yeah, yeah. The ocean is incredible. I mean, I spend the bulk of my time on lakes and rivers, but any chance I do get to get out in the ocean, it's you just never know what you're going to see. So that's
yeah, exactly.
Awesome. If for somebody who's considering just getting started in kayaking, obviously somebody who's never done it before, it would probably make the most sense for them to try it through an outfitter or something like that. But for somebody who's like, I'd like to get into this. Do you need, I'm assuming it can be fairly pricey. Of course, just like anything, there's low end, there's high end, and there's everything in between. But, is there, obviously there's probably a difference in the type of kayak that someone may need if they're going to spend time on the ocean or they're going to just spend time on small lakes.
Yeah, it all depends on what you want to do, and it's like anything you get into. It's, as you said, it's going to be costly. But there's a lot of different things you could do. We try at East Coast Outfitters. We try to keep it simple. We try to offer like 2 hours. Like the thing that comes to mind is we have 2-hour paddles every Monday night, and those are our basic skills clinics. So if someone had no experience, nothing whatsoever, wanted to see what this thing is all about, if they even had, you know, if they really want to. It's 2 hours on the water. You can get, you know, you have a paddle cannon instructor there. You can do whatever you want or not do whatever you want. You can try something. You can see how you feel in a boat. And it only costs $30.
Okay. Yeah.
So, like, that's you know, it's 2 hours on the water, and, you know, we try to keep it. We do that every Monday. So that's like that's just the putting your foot in the pool sort of thing, like testing it out without having to drop lots of money on. Like, let's go out and buy, like, you know, the famous phrase that I like to use that I got from a friend of mine is I call it mecking, where people like to go out and buy all the equipment, and they're like, I have all the fancy equipment, so now I'm an expert, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people do it that way. Is they forget that, you know, you need to get the skills and the training first and then go out and buy
right
what you need to for your level of stuff. So some people do that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you walk in and just have, you know, just your normal street clothes and want to hop in a kayak, hopefully not street clothes, but, you know, if you want to try it, it's going to cost you not, you know, just a little bit of money. If you want to invest after that, then you can start investing into courses. And there's, you know, there's lots of people and places around Nova Scotia that will do, like, training courses, either skill clinics or paddle Canada courses. And Paddle Canada is like the national certifying body of paddle sports, recreational paddle sports in Canada. So they have, and it doesn't matter what kind of paddling you do, it doesn't have to be kayaking, it could be whitewater canoeing, it could be whitewater kayaking, it could be anything, right? But, you know, you could take an official course, but if you don't want to, there's lots of other places and clinics that you can just get on the water and tours and stuff. And a good place to find that is there's an organization called Canoe Kayak Nova Scotia, which I volunteer with, and the website is just ckns.ca, and they have a listing of outfitters and retailers in all of Nova Scotia. So if you live in Cape Breton or if you live in the South Shore, you know, if you're not by Halifax, there's other places that you can contact and ask them all these questions, right? So, and that's good too, because sometimes that's the limiting factor to some people. Is like, well, there's nothing nearby. I live in the middle of nowhere, or I don't have time, or, you know. But if people really want to and they want to get on the water and try it either for themselves or for their families, then there's lots of options all around the whole province.
Nice. Are there similar groups, I assume, in New Brunswick and Prince Edward Island?
Yeah, there's. I'm not sure about PEI, but there's an organization called Canoe Kayak New Brunswick.
Okay.
CKNB. And they do the same thing. But then again, there's lots of different outfitters, you know, off the top of my head that I can think of that are in the Moncton and St. John area. But there's a lot of them that are in between. And there are places and there are outfitters and people will do instruction in PEI and Newfoundland, for that matter, too. There is also an organization like CKNS in Newfoundland called Paddle Newfoundland.
Okay.
Which is pretty simple.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's so many different types of kayaks. I assume you guys are using all, you know, standard sea or ocean going kayaks.
So sea kayaks are they're, you can put them on any type of water, but they're made for the ocean. And a lot of sea kayaks have different designs. They have lengths, they have, you know, it's like cars, right? They all do the same thing, but there's lots of different companies making different style of cars. The same thing with kayaks, they all do the same thing. There's just lots of different companies making different styles of kayak depending on what you want to do with it. So, but the biggest thing with sea kayaks is that they have bulkheads. So they have their separation between the cockpit and the rest of the boat.
Okay.
Recreational kayaks will have mostly, like, there'll be still a sit-in kayak, but they'll have, it'd be one, usually one big open boat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sit-in versions, you know, and then there's also a lot of different kind of kayaks. There's stuff sit on top kayaks.
Right.
There's whitewater kayaks. So if you're planning just to have a boat, like, for the cottage on a lake, then, you know, a rec kayak is probably what you want to go towards. And you can, you know, and there's a different level of cost. But sea kayaks mostly is the bulkheads are the important thing.
Right.
Because, and the reason is that you want to keep, it's storage, right, for your stuff. But the important thing is it adds flotation. So if you do happen to topple over on your own or with friends, the whole boat doesn't fill up. It's just the cockpit.
Gotcha.
And then you can easily get that, write that out of yourself or have your friend get you back in the water. So, you know, and there's lots of other features like deck lines and and toggles in the back and the front that you need to have in a sea kayak. But but there's like different lengths too, right? You can get sea kayaks that are anywhere from 10, 11 feet. But then you can get, you know, I always recommend to people, if you're getting something for on the ocean, it should be 13 feet or more.
Right.
Because then you're dealing with currents, winds, that can make it a little bit more difficult for you to paddle long distances when you have a shorter boat, right? You know, move you around a bit. But, you know, there's a lot of different styles of boats that I've seen come out when it comes to kayaking, different prices, different price range, whatever people want to use them for, right? But, That's the biggest thing is, like, that's the first thing is, like, where am I going to paddle? Okay, so what kind of boat do I need?
Right.
You might get a boat, and you're like, well, I don't need that boat for this. It's kind of overdoing it, right?
Right.
You can paddle a sea kayak on a lake, but it's, you know, you can do more with it, too, as well. So if you're just paddling on a lake, maybe you just need to buy this recreational kayak or this short little kayak or, you know, stuff like that. So, getting, you know, and any retailer that you go to, you usually just tell them, they'll ask. It's one of the first things they usually ask. They're like, well, where are you paddling this, right? What do you want to do with this? So.
Yeah. Interesting. The stand-up paddle boards, I've even seen some now where there's like a stepping system that propels it. Are people using those on the ocean as well, or is this kind of more of a freshwater?
Yeah, you can do use coastal journeying. You can do like stand-up paddle boards. They're great because they're versatile on both moving water and lake water and ocean as well too. You know, especially on the ocean, they're very, very fun. Like mostly calmer water on the ocean, you can get into moving water with stand-up paddle boards depending on what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously on lakes and also like, you know, like SUP surfing is super big and. You know, Ontario, around the Great Lakes and even in the ocean, the white and on rivers as well. Like sub surfing is getting pretty big and very, very fun to do. So yeah, you can put those on any type of water; it'll be fine. And there's a lot of different designs.
Right.
How you manufacture some inflatable ones? There's longer ones or shorter ones, fiberglass, foam core. Like they're almost like a surfboard, but a little bit different. Like, design's definitely a bit different, but. But yeah, there's lots of different, more fun ways to get on the water, basically.
Awesome. So you take off when, essentially, you know, when the season winds down, it gets colder. Is it still perfectly fine and safe for people to kayak in the cold months, or you just have to have an added level of protection?
Oh yeah, for sure. There's friends of mine back in Nova Scotia now that paddle all year round. It all depends on what your idea of fun is.
Right,
that's the biggest thing. And if you know, it's again, it's proper training, and then when it comes to winter, it's like any season, it's proper gear, right?
So
there's friends of mine that paddle all year round, and they just need to make sure you have the right equipment and you get the right knowledge and skills to safely go from point A and back to point A, depending if you're doing a trip. Friends of mine do whitewater paddling, especially when, you know, because the rivers, sometimes if they can move a lot, they don't freeze over during the winter time. Sometimes they do.
Right.
But like this spring, a lot of my friends, like the last month and a half, while my friends have been getting out on the whitewater in Nova Scotia, then you would be pretty, pretty surprised that he was like, I don't think there's whitewater in Nova Scotia.
Oh,
like, yeah, there is. You know, it's really rain level. It's really rain dependent sometimes.
Sure.
But when you have the spring melt, you get a lot of water that comes down a lot of different rivers.
Yeah.
So they've been getting on the water, but they have had, you know, you're wearing dry suits, you're wearing protection for your hands, you're layering properly. You have people there that have the, not just yourself, but others that have the proper training if anything goes wrong.
Right.
Because when you have cold water, you're adding that extra level of risk, but it's still stuff that can be mitigated depending on your skill level, right?
Yeah.
So that's why you were talking about getting proper training. Like, that's the biggest thing that we need to do first before you get yourself in situations.
Right.
You need to, well, not situations, but, you know, before you go out and try to have fun in the wintertime, you're going to have to maybe paddle a little bit. You're going to have to get some training from people to know what they're doing. And then, you know, and if that's your idea of fun, then it can be done for sure.
Adam's idea of fun is 30 degrees Celsius down in Panama.
Yeah. I don't mind the cold too, but that's definitely my idea of fun too for the wintertime.
Yeah, no, I can't blame you there. Well, I appreciate you taking some time out of your day, and we're a bit, I guess, a bit preseason, and it won't be long. You'll be back out this way, and
I'll be back in a week, and this year is going to be we're going to be ready to go. Like, we were ready to go last year, May 1st, but it was just the temperature last year and the level of the water, and there's still the coldness. But this year, it's been, it's back and forth. I've had it before too, but this year it's nice and warm, and people are already getting on the water, and we'll be ready for May 1st to get people going. I've already been talking to people about courses and doing tours on the water in early May, so it's good to see. But and just everybody needs it. Like, the air might be nice and warm, but the water is still, it's still 4 or 5 degrees Celsius, even the lakes too, and in the ocean. So, people got to dress for the water.
It might be
20 degrees out, but people got to remember to dress for the water, and, wearing life jackets as much as they can. Even, it doesn't matter if you're in a kayak or if you're getting on any way to get on the water. So in the next week or so, I actually just reminded me, there's a cold water press release that the CKNS, Nova Scotia, will put out. Usually we like to put it out just before Victoria Day weekend, because that's when people are usually thinking about getting on the water. But people have already gotten on the water now. So, just get people, and there's people that get in the water every spring. And we see these stories, and it's always like, that can be avoided.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to just, put this press release out. Just remember, it's still cold. Wearing life jackets helps when you, not just to keep you up, but just to keep you up when it's cold. There's a lot of different reasons to wear a life jacket. And we'll be, just people when they get on the water, just remember that the water is still pretty cold. So
yeah, I mean, even the reality is, even in peak summer here along the coast, it's not really that warm, the water.
Yeah, if you're not paddling, like Bay of Fundy and Northumberland Strait can get nice and warm, right? Like around 23-ish degrees. But then, when we're paddling on the coast, like maybe in August, it would be 18, 19.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you find 18, 19, 20 degrees along the coast.
Right.
But most of the time you're dealing with like anywhere around 15 degree water, maybe a little bit higher. It all depends. But so, in the summertime, we don't plan on going in the water, especially during a tour, but it's like, if you plan on going in the water, if you're surfing or you're doing rescues, you have to, dress appropriately.
Yeah, be equipped. Excellent. Well, we'll have some links in the show notes to East Coast Outfitters as well as Canoe Kayak Nova Scotia. Any other links you can think of, just let me know, and we'll include those as well. And so we look forward to, seeing some updates and maybe connecting and following on social media, and we'll hopefully have a good season.
Yeah, for sure. And those links, like Canoe Kayak Nova Scotia, is a great little place just to play around in and see what, that's the idea of that organization, is to just give people an idea of what's out there. A lot of the times people will contact Canoe Kayak Nova Scotia thinking like we're an outfitter or a business, which really just it's just a volunteer organization that's sort of like the national voice of, or the provincial voice of recreational paddling. We just try to point people in certain directions and try to just get out information and provide people with opportunities to get on the water. But we like to just let people know what's going on when it comes to that, because there's a lot of different things out there, and sometimes things that I might not know about. But if we can get that on Canoe Kayak Nova Scotia, I always try to tell people to, let me know and we'll get it on, right? So that's the idea of that place. But yeah, there's lots of different paddling events that happen out throughout the season that a lot of people either volunteer to put their time into to do that. There's a lot of events that you can find on Canoe Kayak Nova Scotia. So there's like Canoe to the Sea is an event that is pretty fun that happens on the Shoei. There's like the Kedgy Canoe Fest that happens. There's lots of different paddling events. There's kayaking events in Cape Breton and in Shelburne County as well too. So there's a lot of different options like this, because people sometimes get overwhelmed with like, how do I do this? What do I do? I'm like, well, you can go there and pick how you want to get on the water, right? Do you want to keep going to this place? Do you want to paddle on that place? We have organizations that are little community organizations. So we have places like the Southwest Shore Paddlers, Pictou Paddlers. Like, they have their own little affiliations, and, you know, little Facebook pages and stuff like that. You know, Kayak Cape Breton is another one. So, like, there's, first of all, people were like, oh, how do I get involved with this? And do I need to go to a business or an outfitter? And sometimes little community groups like that will first get you in, and you can get the lowdown on how things work, and then you can try to go from there when it comes to getting on the water. So
nice.
But yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks again, cool. Adam, and enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Thanks again to Adam Zita for taking the time out to talk with us today, making another great episode on kayaking, more specifically kayaking here in the Maritime Provinces. So to check out the show notes, all the information you need related to this episode, just go to maritimeoutdoorsman.com/018. And from there, you will see some links to East Coast Outfitters, where Adam works, doing kayaking tours and instruction, as well as Canoe Kayak Nova Scotia and various other things. So thanks again for tuning in. That'll do it for today, and have a great day in the Maritimes. Bye-bye.